This is the Anabu AI blog, in audio. Welcome. Today, we're looking at an article by Brett Allegrewood called Singapore is Training 100,000 Workers in AI While You Debate ChatGPT.
That title is not subtle.
It's not meant to be, and the numbers back it up. Singapore has launched a fully funded 3-year national program with 2 very specific targets: train 100,000 workers in AI and directly support 10,000 enterprises. Not a pilot, a national mobilization.
And who are these workers? Because I think people hear AI training and picture computer science graduates.
That's exactly what Brett addresses. Through a program called the Tech Skills Accelerator, they're pushing AI literacy into legal, accountancy, manufacturing, non-tech sectors. One of their ministers put it plainly: we want to encourage those who haven't started to take the first step.
So it's not about building better AI, it's about building a culture of AI across the whole workforce.
Exactly. And the financial backing is serious. Singapore offers a 400% tax deduction on AI-related business expenses. Not a modest rebate, a structural incentive that makes AI investment the economically rational choice. Plus, free 6-month subscriptions to premium AI tools for anyone who enrolls in a Skills Future AI course.
A 400% tax deduction? That changes the maths completely. Non-adoption becomes the irrational option.
That's Brett's exact framing, yes.
So where does that leave the UK and Australia?
The UK has the ambition. G7 AI leadership, sovereign AI conversations, all the right rhetoric. But Brett points to what he calls the AI power wall. Data centers can't get connected to the national grid fast enough, and that's strangling capacity before it can scale. Big vision, failure on the fundamentals.
And the workforce numbers?
92% of non-technical job listings in the UK make no mention of AI skills. 92. The national conversation is not reaching the average worker or the average business.
That's a stark number. What about Australia?
Brett describes it as a third hit of the snooze button. There's some movement, a new national framework for data center approvals, but it's regulatory, not enabling. And then there's the corporate picture. Atlassian and Block have shed thousands of staff, describing it as self-funding their AI pivots.
So they're making painful layoffs to catch up, rather than building capability from the start.
Singapore is methodically building skilled, confident workforces from the ground up. Australia is making defensive layoffs. Brett calls that a fundamental difference in mindset, and a dangerous one.
Right, but here's where I'd push back on behalf of the business owner listening. This is all government-level stuff. What does it have to do with running a 50-person services business? Shadow AI. That's what it has to do with it. Brett's argument is that your team is already using AI, right now, today, without your knowledge, drafting emails, summarizing reports, analyzing spreadsheets, outside any official permission or guardrails. And the risks aren't abstract.
Very specific ones. Sensitive company data pasted into public-facing models with no data governance. Every person reinventing their own inconsistent approach. No audit trail, no policy, no protection if something goes wrong.
But isn't that on the employees? Surely they're the ones going rogue.
Brett flips that. Shadow AI is assigned your team wants these tools and your business hasn't given them a safe, structured path. It's a leadership gap, not a technology problem. That reframes it completely. And his suggested framing for the all-hands conversation is direct. The biggest risk to your team's jobs isn't AI. It's working for a company that fails to adapt. Frame what's coming as augmentation, giving people superpowers, making them faster and smarter, freeing them from the repetitive work that burns them out.
So what does building your own version of this actually look like? Because most SMEs don't have Singapore's budget.
4 practical moves. First, a bottleneck audit. Get your team leaders together, map your core processes, find the 3 to 5 repetitive, low-value tasks consuming the most hours. Invoice data entry, generic sales follow-ups, sifting CVs. The things that waste real time and don't actually need a human. Then a focused pilot, 1 department. And Brett is specific here. Define your KPI before you choose a tool. He gives 2 examples from the article. reduce average customer response time by 30% within 60 days, or increase marketing campaign ROI by 15% by end of quarter. Measure everything. Celebrate wins publicly. Because that pilot becomes the proof point that gets the rest of the business on board. Exactly. Third is a weekly AI power hour. One team member shares a tool or technique they've discovered. And Brett suggests reverse mentoring. Let your younger, digital native staff help train senior leadership.
I like that. It's not top-down. It builds confidence across the whole team, and it costs almost nothing.
The fourth step is the simplest. Lead from the heart. Use AI visibly yourself. Show your team how you're summarizing board papers, drafting strategic communications, analyzing competitors. Your personal example will be outweighed in top-down mandate.
So if someone's listening to this right now, what's the one thing they do this week?
Book a 45-minute all-hands. Not to announce a finished strategy, just to open the conversation honestly. Acknowledge the uncertainty, then reclaim the opportunity.
For me, it's the bottleneck art. Get your team leaders in a room and map where the hours actually go. Because until you can see it clearly, you can't do anything about it.
The full article is at Thornaby.ai. If work is working in your own business, there's a free AI audit you can book there as well.
Worth doing.